This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community and I can honestly say it's the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who's listening to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Well, here we are. I've been so excited about this. Welcome back to Over the Influence, Series 2. Can you believe it? Series 2. This is so exciting. So before we speak to our fabulous first guest of the season, we shall just reintroduce ourselves, just give you a quick recap of who we are and why we're here and what it's all about. My name's Sharon Hartley. Everyone calls me Shaz or Shazza. I am married, mum of three, two teenagers, an in-between ager. Decided to go alcohol-free 2 years ago today. It's not my 2 year soberversary today. It's the eve. It's my soberversary eve. So I'm almost at 2 years. Only set out to do 90 days. Never had any intention of going alcohol-free. If you'd have told me 2 years ago, I'd be recording a podcast with Background Ben and Freddie Bennett and interviewing our next guest, I'd have poured another wine, laughed and got very, very sloshed. How times have changed. So that's me in a nutshell. Our producer is the enigmatic and very handsome Background Ben.
You're giving on to me.
So Ben, just in fact, at the end of the last series, you revealed yourself, not in that way.
Yeah, let's clarify that straight away, because obviously listeners can't see us. We are on Zoom right now. There was no flashing in the making of this podcast. I did. I decided kind of, obviously, you know, you guys have been alcohol free for quite a long time. You asked me to help produce the podcast for you. Yep. You kind of got in my head because I was listening to you for hours every single week. And I thought, you know what? Why not give it a go? So you're 2 years, Shaz, but I'm on 2 months.
Absolutely 2 months brilliant. A round of applause. Yeah, awesome. Absolutely fantastic. Love that. Yeah. So good. So, really, really
I'm
good.
I'm chuffed
Ben.
About that. It's been, you know what, nowhere near as hard as I thought it would be. I've done birthdays. I've done barbecues. It's honestly, the first hour I've found tough on major events. But, you know, in the week, like, I haven't even thought about it when I've been at home.
And, you know, it's not even crossed my mind. As you just said, we are on a Zoom call and you're looking really well.
We're
well done.
There.
Brilliant. And Freddie, my co-host Freddie.
Hello. Please allow me to reintroduce myself. I'm very excited to be here for series two. So I was once a work hard, play hard, stressed, depressed, 30-something, who on the outside looked like he was living the dream. But on the inside, I was feeling more alone, more abandoned and more out of control. But I stopped drinking, I broke some world records, I won some ultra marathons and ended up living a much happier version of my life. And now I am getting up to 550 days.
Woohoo!
And like you, Shazza, 551 days ago, I never thought this was possible. I shudder to think what my life would be like now if I was still living in the fast lane, shall we say. And it's been a crazy journey. It's been some highs, it's been some lows. It's been a roller coaster, but I am very happy to be where I am now, because if I hadn't had to go through the dark times and the hangovers and the stress and the depression, I would not be the luckiest man in the world sat here, right here, speaking to you three amazing people right now. And I might even get into a rant in the very first minute of the second series, but here we go. This is going to be amazing. I am excited and I am blown away with our guest today. It's a privilege and an honour. And I've got to stop talking because I'm too excited. So let's get going and let's get into the action.
Oh, blimey. Michael, what an introduction that was. So before we ask you a few questions and get chatting to you, I'd just like to introduce our first guest. This series is all going to be about you. Speaking to you, speaking to people on the alcohol-free journey, speaking to authors, Quitlet experts that are up there, really, really at the top of the game in the alcohol-free world. Just anybody with an interesting story. One of those people who, from the beginning, has just got a brilliant story to tell. He's an amazing character. Get on his Instagram. We'll give you the handles for that later on because he spends most of his time wearing Speedos. And he sort of loses his top more than you, Freddie, which I find incredible. I didn't think this was possible. it really is a privilege to introduce Michael Brown all the way from New York. What was that accent? What was that? I'll try that in English. From New York. It's fantastic to have you on, Michael. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. And like, I guess you are just inviting and talking to just about anybody if I'm here.
So. Absolutely not. There's many things we can talk about and I'll get really carried away and trip all over myself trying to get my questions and my words out because I am really excited. But I think one of the fact you're here talking to myself and Freddie and Ben now is just shows the connections you can make when you go alcohol free. People's paths maybe that wouldn't normally cross. All we've got in common is that we all just removed alcohol. Yet here we are about to talk to you, Michael, in New York about it, about your fascinating journey, your incredible lifestyle and the fact that the young age of 33 today, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You've decided to go alcohol free and you are living your best life.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you and me and Freddie, we all kind of started our journey roughly around the same time. And it's so true what you said, how this can bond people. You know, I think you two have really helped me along my way. And I hope that I've done the same for you and for many other people. I think that's one of the gems of becoming alcohol free and telling your story is you find these different connections that, like you said, you wouldn't normally.
Absolutely.
You know, have the opportunity to have.
I think you're totally right in terms of this. You know, when you start to share your story, then you do make these amazing connections. How was it for you at the start when you felt like it was time to go public, as it was, in terms of being alcohol free? Was it scary? Was it difficult? Were you nervous?
I guess maybe untraditionally from a lot of stories and a lot of people that I've talked to, I made mine public from day one. I was working at a very high stress and high profile job at the time. I'm a performer and I was, you know, performing for anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 people per night. And so there's a lot of stress on me and there was a relationship that was failing. And, you know, obviously there's this cloud of alcohol that was just consuming me for like years and years and years with this mask of happiness over me. So I felt that if I were going to succeed, I needed to hold myself accountable. And the way that I hold myself accountable is through other people, you know, good and bad things. And so I made it public right from day one. My sober birthday is Christmas Day, actually.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so I made this long post and said, you know, I was tired of being, you know, living in the mediocre. And I wanted to try to just rustle everything up. So that's what I did. And I made it public and got a lot of feedback that people thought that it was a good idea. That's probably a good idea for you. And then throughout the course of it, I've been able to speak to a lot of people that I probably wouldn't have known that they were also struggling. And so the fear of letting people know dissipated very quickly with how well it was received by my loved ones.
Amazing. Michael, just fill in some gaps for us. Just tell us a bit more about what you do. You talked about being a performer there, performing in front of thousands of people every night. Just tell us, take us back to the beginning and tell us about that industry and what life was like.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm American. I know you have listeners all over the world. So imagine American college. You know, and the stereotypes with that's all very true. And so, you know, I was having a lot of fun through college. And then I went to school for musical theater and music. And when I graduated, I moved to New York City in 2008. And since then, I've been an actor and a singer professionally pretty much the whole time. And with that, I've done, you know, traditional musical theater. I've done tours of the U.S. I have worked on luxury cruise lines a lot and traveled the world. And then the job that I was doing right before I made the decision to quit drinking was actually Cirque.
Oh, wow.
A Cirque show. So yeah, so really, really like huge production value, people from all over the world, and just like sold out shows after sold out shows. But with that lifestyle comes, you know, the rock star lifestyle. You know, you get to travel the world, you get to hang out with young people who are all like-minded, that has a finite time frame on it, right? You go and you meet people for a small amount of time, and so you want to make the most of it.
Yeah.
And you know, us as adults, you know, our sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Our adventure seems to get smaller and smaller, and it reduces down to alcohol.
Yeah.
As adults, you know, and so with that, we just tend to go out a lot, and it also we are taken away from home with this job. And so when you get back home, you need to catch up with your mates, you need to catch up with your family. And what do? You know, you go out to the bars, you go to restaurants, you bottomless mimosas at brunch. And then it's just like, it's very cyclical and it keeps happening.
Yeah.
So it was time to break that cycle.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. There are so many industries out there. I say that this might come as a shock to the listeners and to myself, but the industry I was in wasn't the performing arts industry. I wasn't in Cirque du Soleil. I hate to break that news to everyone. I had a bombshell for the first episode. But no, I do get you that, you know, my industry was the same, and it was very... Yeah, very work hard, very play hard, very stressful. And also there was that need to fit in, whether it, you know, you want to be selected for the next job, or you want to work well with this, you know, this new bunch of people that you've been thrown together with. And as we used to believe, the best way to get to know people is to do some shots. And it is a great bonder, or so we tell ourselves. And it's such a brave thing to step away from the crowd and say, no, I'm going to disrupt the pattern. I'm going to do something different. And I'm going to prove to myself that I am stronger than that. And I don't need to be dependent on this thing anymore. And so when, say, it was Christmas Day and you gave yourself the best ever Christmas present of saying, I'm going to go alcohol free. And you've talked about that very public day one accountability. What else did you do to get you through those first few days and weeks to really, and did you struggle, especially in those early days, or was it a straight process?
So when I finished, my contract with Cirque was up just after Christmas. In just a few days. So I pushed through that, and then I had about a month off. And so I came up to Rochester, New York, where I grew up, to stay with some family visit. And that was a double-edged sword. I didn't have the temptation as much. You know, I wasn't going out to bars or things like that. I don't know many people here anymore. But it's also, I'm from a very small town, and boredom was a huge trigger for me. And so that took some willpower, and it took a lot of, like, I felt like it was always on my mind. Even at times I wouldn't normally be drinking, I was thinking, like, today's a day we're choosing not to drink.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was constant, you know? And then I came over to jolly good old England, Northampton, which I spent a lot of time in. And I was there for almost 3 months. And I had signed up to do a half marathon while I was there. So that was like this end goal that I was looking at, right? And I was lucky enough that I was in that cast that I was rehearsing with. I was surrounded by people who knew me as a drinker, and a bunch of new people that I was meeting who I was introducing myself to as a sober person. And so I had a really great support network underneath me. And I think that's what really can be attributed to my success, is that I had some best friends that were there as my rocks. And then one thing, I mean, that I've done that I don't know if many people would do this, was I just jumped into the uncomfortable and I went to bars. And I went to the house parties on the weekends. I didn't want to, you know, separate myself from a bunch of new people that I was going to intimately be spending my time with for the next 8 months and lose out on that social time. And so I chose to do that. And I will say, it took a really long time for me to figure out my identity in those situations. You know, I used to be, you know, the life of the party, you know, the bad influence, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, I think we could all say that on this podcast, every single one of us.
You know, I was, the one passing them out. And then, so to remove that crutch, especially as such a out there and social person, it took some time to figure that out and realize that you're still you.
In a future episode of Over the Influence, we're going to be chatting to William Porter, who wrote Alcohol Explained. And I've just finished reading Alcohol Explained 2. And he talks about, obviously, tools to get you through those early days, early months when you're finding it difficult. And he said exactly what you just talked about there. Go to the bar, go to the house party, do this, do that. Don't put it off. See, I went the other way when I first started. I sort of declined invitations. I just couldn't be asked. I thought, I don't need to be in a bar where they're pouring wine, you know, my alleged favourite wine. And I didn't feel strong enough. So I just removed myself from all that. But I was fascinated to read this book only last week where he said, no, do that. And you did that, Michael, and it worked for you.
Yeah, I think making it my normal helped me in the long run. Because so I talked about performing as a whole, but let's like narrow it down to my first year of sobriety was predominantly spent on a small cruise ship. And if you want to talk about rampant alcoholism, that is...
You know what, Michael, have you ever seen the TV, the reality show on Netflix called Below Deck?
Yes.
Is it like Below Deck?
Yeah, well...
Guys, if you haven't seen this show, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. They're like so professional when the guests are there, like, you know, no alcohol when you're on charter, as they call it. Then literally, as soon as the captain goes, well, you can go out tonight, guys, they're literally like straight off that boat. And it feels like the next scene, it feels like 10 minutes later, they're all absolutely smashed.
I mean, if there was ever a reality show that, you know, was some semblance of like realistic, that would be the show. I'm telling you, it is like that. And so, yeah, having to go into a situation in which you're in this really confined little space and everyone around you works so incredibly hard, the longest hours you can possibly imagine. And then their only time off, what do they want to do? They just want to like let loose a little bit, you know? And you can't really go into the guest areas and, you know, be seen like that. So we have this small little space, and that's all you really have to do at night. You know, you're not on land very often in the evening. And so I was like, I have to figure out how I'm going to navigate this. And so, yeah, so that's what it was. It was a crazy time, let me tell you. But with Shazza, like you said, like you didn't want to be around it being poured. And what was the point? And I found that I would show up, but I definitely left a lot earlier than I would have. You know, once it crossed that threshold of like, well, this is no longer my environment. This is no longer, you know, my comfort level. And then so I would end up going home and then being smug the next morning, all bright and chippy.
There's nothing better, is there?
How good did it feel next morning? I really like your approach, Michael, in terms of the... just kind of diving in and being bold. And I've got a theory about this. And you can just see Shazza and Ben going, oh God,
where's
this
going now? Where's he going with this?
So here's my theory. And I'll, you know, this is not scientifically proven, but here's the thing. I think that a lot of people like us who, as you totally said, life and soul of the party, get the party started, a bit rebellious. And you know, if that was me, I'd be the one like with the, you know, necking back the wines at the, you know, the kids' summer fair or something, or, you know, everything would be around how can I sneak as much alcohol into the situation as much as I can. And so I think we're all quite rebellious in nature. And then you ask us, or we tell ourselves, that we can't do that anymore, that you're this outgoing, rebellious person, but now you have to stay locked inside with the windows closed and the door bolted like it's an episode of The Purge or something. And that doesn't work with us. And so I had to try and flip it and say, if you're this rebellious person who likes to be a bit disruptive and likes to do something different, then the way to do it is by saying, I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing. I'm going to be at the bar, but I'm not going to be drunk. I'm not going to be following the same patterns that I had to be doing. And this is my way of actually rebelling in a different way and doing something unique and showing the world that I don't need to drink to have a good time, but I can still be bloody brilliant whilst I'm doing it. Or maybe it's a load of rubbish. Who knows? But that's my line.
No, you've stunned us into silence. We're all open mouths. I think I agree, Freddie, with that. I agree. Mm. And I think it takes balls and courage and strength, and it is a scary time. And I mean, I can't speak for myself. I mean, I'm surrounded by three very young, handsome men, all below the age of 40. I know. So I was just looking out the window. Some guys just walked past. And you know, I'm a bit older than you three. But to make a decision to go alcohol free, you know, at your age, Michael, you're only 33. You know, and you're living this lifestyle that's, you know, based so much on a social life, isn't it, as well, and the people you meet and the countries you go to and the new bars you could be trying. I think it takes absolute balls. And Freddie, I agree with you. It's a great way to look at it, to flip it round, to not do what's expected.
Not only for us, but for the people around us. And in your case, Michael, people around the world that are influenced by you, are phenomenal.
Well, you know, and I think that's awesome that you just said that, like the reaching out to different people. So I identify with so many different groups. You know, there's the performer, there's, you know, the fact that I'm in my early 30s, an American trying to repatriate to England eventually. But also I just want to touch that, like, the LGBTQ community, it's also a huge rampant problem in their community, because, you know, if you just think that, like, decades and decades, the only safe space was in the bars and the clubs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially here in America under, you know, anytime, you know, but in current climates included, that being a young person, I've actually been reached, people have reached out to me from that community over and over again asking, how are you doing this? How are you keeping, you know, any sort of semblance of a social life and being sober in this community, and realizing that it's a big problem that's been fed by, you know, ignorance for such a long time. That, you know, if we can just kind of reverse that for the younger generation, that they have, you know, safe spaces and have, you know, people to look up to that find their way without going to the bars and the clubs and just, you know, getting pissed every weekend and, you know, being messy. I think that's really important.
I think what you show as well, though, Michael, is it's just, you look like you're having a ball. I've got to say, you know, all your Instagram posts and everything, it's just full of sunshine and rainbows and laughter and sea and social life and beautiful countries. And it does look like you're having a ball, unless you're going to tell me differently.
Well, you do got to take, you know, social media with a grain of salt.
Of course.
Show our best sides,
yeah.
Right? But you know, I've been blessed with the job that I've had, that I have been all over the planet. And it is not, since I'm on day 617.
That's amazing.
Being sober, you know, just past 20 months. And these past 20 months are the times, you know, I've been to countries that I've been to over and over again in the past decade. But this is the first time that I've appreciated it.
Yeah.
Being the rebel, like, you know, Freddie said, it was rebel at night, and then you wake up because you want to go explore, but the first thing you're thinking about is, I need a drink because my head hurts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you spend so much time in a little pub somewhere where you could be out, you know, taking, you know, thirsty Instagram posts.
Some of your posts are very thirsty, Michael, I must say. I've been studying them closely for research purposes. And,
If anyone hasn't seen, me and Freddie have a torrid love affair on Instagram.
It's filthy.
Oh, the filthier the better, Shazza. The filthier the better.
Oh. We're just going to take a quick break from today's episode. Hope you are enjoying it as much as we are. And if you didn't know, my name's Shaz from Over the Influence. We get so much fabulous feedback from our community members who have taken the plunge to join us. And they tell us that one of the best things about the community is the Zoom calls that we hold throughout the week. Now, these are face-to-face with myself and Ben and other community members as well. And we guarantee there is at least one that would work for you and fit in with your day, wherever you might be in the world. If you are feeling a little bit nervous about it, we get that. We've got smaller newbie Zooms. These are held by Danny, who is one of our fantastic community members. She'll give you the warmest and most friendliest welcome you can find. She's lovely. The Zoom calls, they're honest, they're fun. And for many, they really do help fill that gap where in the past you might have found yourself drinking. So come and say hello. You can find out more about our community and how you can sign up at overtheinfluence.co.uk. And you can join us on Zoom at a time that suits you. Right, enough wobbling on from me. Let's get back to yet another fabulous episode. When you talked earlier about, you put it out there from day one, I did the same. Freddie, what did you do? Did you share it straight away or was you a bit of a slow burner?
Yeah, I mean, I found it difficult. I suppose in a similar way. I mean, you know, being an extremely alpha macho guy, probably the most alpha and macho guy that you've met. I don't know why people are laughing at that.
Sorry,
darling.
Just how brazen you are with it.
No, I lost my train of thought there. No, I've got to be honest, I didn't. I only went public, like on my public Facebook page after a year.
Right.
Some people probably still don't know.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know and would probably never know how bad I needed to change my behaviours.
You know, the reason I mention it is because, like, I don't know how big a drinker you were, Michael. I'm assuming you drank a fair bit. I've put it out that I drank every day. You know, you get to the stage where you think a bottle of wine a night is normal, and actually it's not, and then ramping it up at the weekends. And my identity was always as a big drinker. So when people probably speak for, I won't speak for you, Ben, because you're just starting out on this. So interrupt me if I'm speaking out of turn. For it to come from big drinkers and big characters who social identities were based around booze, when you put your hand up and go, you know what, I'm not doing this now, people go, shit, well, if they can do it, I can do it. You know, there's that saying, isn't it? The first they say to you, why are you doing this? And then they ask you, how are you doing it? And it's brilliant. And nothing makes us more proud or just more chuffed to bits over the influence, but people message us privately, Michael, and ask for help or ask for suggestions or just want to check in with their day count. And it's that accountability. But I think it's seeing people that were previously big drinkers, the party starters, the pissed ones at the end of the night, asleep in the bar, whatever, who have said, you know, that there is another way, and people are watching that, aren't they? And it's you must feel chuffed to bits, Michael, to be that inspiration for members of various communities.
You know, I because of the job and because of the social aspect, you know, it was a lot of really fun times, a lot of fun parties. Mm. You know, it wasn't me necking down a bottle of vodka alone in my room, and you know, I wasn't getting in trouble with the law. I didn't necessarily hit a bottom per se, you know, as like the traditional way you'd think about that. From the outside, it looks like I was having a grand time. And and like you, like I used to have sayings like, oh, mimosas don't count, or, you know, a couple, you know, beers while you're watching Netflix, that doesn't count, you know.
Yeah, the only drinks all that, the you excuses. Know.
And I was a very, very heavy drinker. And yeah, it was every day and it was all the time. And it dictated where I was eating lunch and what we were doing and everyone else's plans around me. And so I made it public that I was going to be attempting to go sober. Also, in my mind, I really had high doubts that I was going to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of doubts in there.
Again, I think that's all of us. None of us set out to be here, did we, this far down the line?
But it wasn't until maybe two, 3 months in that I told my full story. And I told, you know, that there was like this underlying sadness and there were feelings of like deaths in my family that I hadn't really like come to terms with or dealt with. And I was always using that as an excuse, you know, that I was scared of like my career. You know, there was times I was so dehydrated and I would wake up and I was like spitting blood in the morning. And, you know, and like the voice is so fragile, you know, and I just was completely honest. It was a very long story. And the way in which the people that I know reacted probably is what set me off on being, you know, much further than 90 days, you know, people reaching out and saying, I had no idea that that was what was the reality of the situation. You know, and speaking to my mom afterwards and, you know, just hearing her say, I'm so proud of you. And, you know, my best friend coming in the room and just seeing the tears in her eyes after she had just read it. And so that maybe that was my real coming out on social media was, you know, a couple months in, but realizing one, that people love you, but two, that a lot more people understand you needing to get your, you know, your health under control, your life under control. And then from then on, it's just been an uphill climb from there.
I quite fancy going to a Cirque du Soleil party though. You know, people hanging from the ceiling doing shots of tequila. I think that'd be great fun.
It's like both extremes, right? There's like the ones like me that were going out and like, you know, getting pissed every night. And then there was the other ones. You're like, Sergey, you know, do you want to go out to the, we're going to the bar. And he's like, no, I stay home, do push-ups.
You've hit your number of days now. One of the golden questions is, do you think you'll ever drink again, or is this it now for you?
So I've had a lot of conversations about that, especially recently. I've developed a really, really great circle of people who are also currently alcohol-free. And the general consensus for all of us is that alcohol will no longer be playing a part in our lives if everything goes according to plan. So for me, I've just seen too many benefits. Physically, health, the clarity of my mind, my initiative and my drive is through the roof. And, you know, especially what's been going on since March and the pandemic, I couldn't imagine where I would be if I even were close to the person who I used to be. You know, being able to go through this and be able to be as adaptable as I've needed to be, because my industry is completely shut. And just yesterday, I got another extension of, you know, being pushed back by months and months, you know, maybe 2022. The cruise industry, let's say, maybe that will be back, but something as frivolous as a show, that's just an added, you know, risk. And so I've had to completely change gears. I've just, this last week, I'm going back to school. And so school started and I'm going back into like nutrition and all around health. Coming up, there's some electives and I'm going to be doing epidemiology and really be focusing on alcohol and health.
Michael, it's been amazing. It's been incredible to follow your journey and watch your transformation. And one thing I've noticed is your confidence and your body confidence. I know I joked about it earlier, you know, about your Instagram and your Speedos and all the rest of it, but you're now qualified as a fitness coach, you're vegan, you're sober, and your confidence shines through. And everything you just listed there, again, all this has come about purely by removing alcohol.
That's what I'm saying. You know, some little choices in life and you just don't know the effect that they're going to have. One day sitting in a hotel room by myself with empty cans all around me, feeling sick and just deciding, you know what, I've had enough. Tomorrow I'm not going to drink. And just that one little decision that I happened to follow through on, which was not something I was great at doing, has completely changed my life. And thank you for noticing. I was just living so mediocre. I was living at like baseline acceptable. So I'm in my 30s and I'm posting lots of photos in very little clothing, but it's the first time that I'm like proud of something, you know?
And so you should be though. It is incredible.
I'm extremely proud of you, Michael. I could look at those all day.
They'll keep coming.
Michael, before we go and before we say thank you, before we say bye-bye, if there's somebody listening now inspired by you, inspired by your journey, maybe a similar age to you, male, female, drinking, partying, possibly a member of the LGBTQ community, what would you say? What tip would you give if somebody wants to change the path they're on right now?
One thing that really helped me, I think, one really great tip is give yourself small spaces. Don't reach for a year. Don't reach, you know, for never drinking again. Find little ways to accomplish achievements, because when you do that, you're positively reinforcing yourself. So give yourself, you know, I'm not going to drink this weekend. Well, I got through the weekend, so let's get through the next week. You know, let's do a month, 3 months, and keep reevaluating and setting those goals. And then I think outside of that, outside of achieving goals, give yourself space and room to forgive yourself for any times you falter, and just get back up and try to do it again and reach out to those people that are there to help you, and just try to focus on replacing those habits with positive things.
Michael,
love it.
You are so inspiring. You're so funny. You're so talented. You do look so good in Speedos.
Absolutely.
If people are going to be asking us out, they will be messaging saying, can you just let me know where I can find Michael? Just tell us where you are on Instagram.
Yes. So I'm on Instagram at Michael C. Brown Singing, and I'm always available for a chat, and I'll direct you to the Alcohol Free Pods page and all those tips. And yeah.
Freddie, how amazing was that, chatting to Michael?
I loved it. What a absolute superstar in every sense of the word. It was amazing hearing Michael's story, and such an energetic and inspirational tale of the fabulous life that we can all lead.
I think Michael sharing his story with us there was a real taste of what we've got to come on this second series of Over the Influence. I mean, I was so excited about chatting to Michael anyway. We've got Craig Beck coming up, Alcohol Lied to Me, worldwide famous author. We've got William Porter, Alcohol
Amazing.
Explained. Get in touch with us. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or you can find us privately. Send us a private email, overtheinfluence@soundrebel.co.uk. As I say, we reply to every single message we get. We love reading all your comments on our social medias. But this is about you, and it's really important. You know, we hear from you what you would like to hear on the podcast, and we'd like to hear your journey and how you're finding alcohol-free life.
Hi, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and boo, here she comes to the end of another week of Over the Influence. Except you haven't, because every week, as well as this free podcast, we release a special bonus episode of Over the Influence called the Over the Influence Premium Podcast, which is exclusive for our community members and our subscribers. Just go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com now to sign up, and our premium podcasts will go straight into your normal podcast app. It's £5 a month, and by becoming a premium podcast listener, you're supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops. So thank you for your support. If you'd like to become a premium podcast listener, just go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com.